This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fender Bender on Joy 94.9, revving up the weekends with news and views on all things motoring.
Yes, it's true. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9 for another Saturday. My name is Tim Nicholson. I'm very happy to have your company today. A big welcome to you wherever you are listening to Joy 94.9. And of course, a massive thanks to Mark and Joe for the Escape Pod. They will be back next week, so make sure you tune in at the same time. I am joined in the studio by none other than Matt Brogan.
Oh, Tim, thanks for pumping me up, and Happy New Year to you, mate.
Happy New Year to you. Yeah. How are you? Did you have a good Christmas break?
I had a restful break, and there was no fist fights at the family Christmas dinner this year, so
really?
That's always a good thing.
No punch-ons.
Ooh,
is that disappointing?
Well, look, it's no Jerry Springer this year, but it was good.
Well, that's good. And you've been coping this week in the heat.
Mate, air-conditioned car, air-conditioned office, air-conditioned house.
Yeah.
I don't know what everyone's complaining about.
You spoiled jerk. It does make a difference, though. I must say the best part of the day for me this week has been exactly that, driving to work, an hour to work in my air-conditioned press car, getting to my air-conditioned office, and it's only when I get home.
And especially when the traffic's so light, isn't it lovely?
No school kids around at the moment, which that will be devastating when that starts back. Apologies to all of the parents out there. But it's been a bit of a big week. We've had the Detroit Motor Show this week, which we're going to go into a bit more detail next week because that tall lout Mike Costello has been flitting around the cold state.
Yes, I did see him in San Francisco this morning on Facebook. So.
Yes. I know, he's gone from Detroit to San Francisco, and he didn't have a flower in his hair. I don't know what's happening.
I could send him to some nice bars over there, although I'm not sure if he'd enjoy them as much as I did.
I know, I thought the same thing. It's like, why did he get that trip? I think it would be far more appropriate for me to go. But he is going to go through all of the ins and outs, as it were, of Detroit next week. So we're going to have a little bit of a look of it very shortly, but more detail coming up next week. Of course, we've got the fabulous Brett from Motor Friends coming in a little bit later on to tell us all about what's happening with Midsummer. I didn't know if you know this. It's Midsummer, Matt.
It's hard to avoid, isn't it?
It is a little bit. But it's very fun. Carnival was last weekend and I missed it.
So did I.
Where were you? What were you doing?
Family stuff.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Family comes over the
gate. Don't they know it's Midsummer?
I know. Well, I had a work event of all things. Actually, no, that's not true. It was my father's 70th on that day. I had a work event before it, and then you can't get out of that.
No, I know.
You can't go. I'm going to go to a homosexual picnic, Mum and Dad.
Yeah.
So if you could just push that back.
You could have brought Grandpa along.
That could be awkward. Oh, God. Can you imagine? But there's lots more, of course, coming up for Midsummer. There's Mooning in a couple of weeks, which is always entertaining, and Pride March, of course, as well. So we'll be chatting a little bit about that. And we're also going to talk a little bit later about corporate grills. And I'm not talking about some kind of gold tooth thing. I'm talking about the faces of cars and what car companies are doing these days to get that kind of corporate look happening. And so we'll go in a little bit more depth about that later on. But first up, Matty Brogan. Apparently, Chevrolet will not be coming to Australia. It's almost all but confirmed Holden will stay as a brand.
Well, look, it was Holden was here to stay a few months ago too, but...
that's right.
Look, who do you trust on these issues, really?
That's true.
Look, I think the brand certainly has a lot of resonance and it might be a little silly in some ways to replace it. And look, keeping its own identity seems to work well and sell well. So why would you want to change it to something that some people may even despise, you know?
That's
so American. I don't want that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I don't know where this rumor's kind of come from, but everyone's been kind of reporting on it. Everyone's been talking about it, and it just doesn't really make sense. That brand has so much equity in this country. It doesn't, yes, it matters that they're leaving. Of course it does, but it would just be bonkers if they were to do that.
Yeah, I think it's sad enough that it had to leave. I think I was in a state of depression for about 2 days, being a Holden fanboy from way back.
Yes.
But it just seems like a silly manly move to go and, you know, rebadge everything that you've worked hard to build up and just dump it on the ground. It just
doesn't
seems
make sense,
a bit silly.
Does it? No. So that's basically confirmed from Ellen Beatty, who I think runs their GM's international operations, mm-hmm. used to run Holden. That's good news for Holden fans. Some other good news, Hyundai Genesis. So this big sedan, it's like bigger than an i45.
It's, sort of 5 Series size, I guess say. Almost very similarly equipped and styled and all the rest of it. It's actually quite a luxury offering, you might say, from Hyundai.
Yeah, which first time they've had that, was it the Grandia?
Yeah,
that they kind of was like a bad...
I think this really sort of personifies Hyundai's coming of age in a way. Mm. And I've been fortunate enough to have a drive of the current generation in the States. And it's a terrific car.
Is it?
Yeah, it's extremely quiet. Mm. It's very smooth and it goes like stink.
Does
actually.
It? Yeah. Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. So they've done a fantastic job with it. And when you jump inside, you don't think Hyundai straight away. You really think Euro Prestige. You know, it's fantabulous, I was going to say. build quality.
Oh, wow.
It's a lovely machine. Yeah. But unfortunately, the previous generation wasn't offered in right-hand drive. So we've had to sort of wait for a bit of a retool and a redesign. And it's great news, I think.
Yeah. It looks pretty schmick. It's not as sexy as that concept. It was based on a concept from last year,
which had
some kind of fax number in the name. And it looked absolutely stunning. And obviously, you know, that's what happens with a concept. It never gets watered down, but totally. But more exciting as well, I think, I don't know if this is whether they've confirmed it yet, but the Genesis has a coupe, which was previewed in a concept last year, which looked extremely sexy. Fantabulous, one might
say.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And hopefully that might come here as well. So.
Well, look, we can keep our fingers crossed. It's sort of a little bit bigger than the 86, but that same sort of genre, same sort of idea, you know, big engine up front, rear wheel drive at the back. Yeah. So.
Do you think Australians are ready to pay a little bit more for a Korean car?
I would like to say yes, but probably no.
Right.
Owning one myself, we still have a lot of people that look down the nose at us.
Really?
Yeah.
To this day?
Yeah, to this day, which is disappointing in a way, because I think, you know, that in some aspects that they've done a lot better than the Japanese have this decade, I think. Yeah.
Yep.
And certainly in the value for money stakes. Mm. So, I just don't understand. And it was the same with Japanese cars, 30 years ago? You know, everyone called them Jap crap, which was just horrible.
Yeah.
And to look at how good Japanese cars are now and Korean cars as well, and the Chinese will be next, you know? So I think people just have to open their mind a little bit and go and drive one, please.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. I think that's what it's about, is people kind of experiencing it for themselves. But I think also the Koreans came a long way a lot quicker than the Japanese did.
Very much
you
so.
You know, it just didn't take them as long. So it's going to be interesting to see what the Chinese do
definitely.
On the back of that. Yeah. So, but let us know. I mean, would you have an issue spending a little bit more money on a South Korean car? Text in 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. And some other things this week locally, Maddie B, of course, is a car that you're a bit of a fan of. This is the Infiniti Q50, which is, that's 3 Series size, is that right?
Yeah, it's actually just, I would say, fractionally bigger.
Oh, okay.
It just seems to have that little bit more rear leg room.
Yeah, okay.
But look, for all intents and purposes, yes. And a technological marvel, you might say.
Well.
Steer-by-wire. Which is a bit of a tricky thing and actually offers better feedback in some respects than some of the motor-driven power steering you might experience out there at the moment.
Yeah.
It's a hybrid. It's also available with a turbo diesel, so there's no straight petrol coming here. We get a petrol electric hybrid and a turbo diesel.
Wowza.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. But the hybrid's the pick, would you suggest?
I've been fortunate enough to have a quick steer. It's quicker than it has any right to be.
Right.
it's really quick, actually. Yep. It drives beautifully. It just sits on the road like a much larger Euro Prestige car. It's really quiet inside, and the level of technology will just blow you away.
So I guess that begs the question. This is obviously Infiniti is owned by Nissan, and Nissan builds something like the Polestar sedan.
Yeah. I think the issue with that is that the Polestar has to be sold in in a lot of markets, you know, and a lot of them, you might say, second world markets, definitely cheaper markets, where it's very much built for a price and has to be built down to a price. So when it arrives here, yes, it's, you know, it's got a lot of lovely stuff inside it, and it feels a little bit more market. But essentially, the base that they're having to work on has to sell in a much broader scope than we have just here. So I guess that's the one reason for it. Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Well, interestingly, with the Q50, it's coming out, I think, early next month, starting from $51,900 for the base model. Now, if you look at what you would think its main competitor is, the Lexus IS, which is a pretty good little car.
It is, yeah.
That starts at 55, 990 or 900.
Yeah,
or
it's really heating up, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's a great thing. It's just going to put another car into that segment where it's been a little bit stale for a while. So, you know, bring it on.
Yeah, very exciting. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I kind of like seeing this kind of competition because it makes everything a bit better. The next generation of everything will be a little bit better. And again, I do like an underdog, so go Infiniti. Yeah. And I think their pricing's a little bit more sensible than when they first launched here.
Definitely,
with
definitely.
Six-figure cars.
Yes.
Slow down, Infiniti. But yes, so we've got a little bit more news coming up and heaps more, so do stick around. This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Tim and Matt sitting here with you on an overcast... No, I was going to say cold. It's not cold. I'm wearing shorts.
No, I'm in thongs. not a thong. The plural, you know, the ones that are on your feet, yeah. No, look, it's a big relief after the past few days, I've got to say. I've been loving driving in with the windows down and the roof open.
It's good, isn't it? It's very exciting. We've had an email or a text come in from the Contessa. Hi, guys. How much is a little bit more for a Korean car? Well, that's a good point. I mean, where would they position the Genesis?
Yeah, it's a really good question from Contessa there. It's hard to say at the moment because... If it's going to have a Hyundai badge on it and not a premium badge a la Infiniti Nissan that we were just talking about, how cheeky can you get?
I don't know. That's a good point, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Because there was talk of them having that as a sub-brand, like Genesis.
There very much was.
But I think that's been scrapped. But I think what they're going to do, and looking at the picture of the car, and if you go to a search engine and look for Hyundai Genesis, you will see this for yourself, that... There's very little Hyundai badging. There is a Genesis badge, and that's everywhere.
That's right.
So whether when they advertise it, it'll be the new Hyundai Genesis, or I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see. So, I mean, maybe...
It may take a throwback to the 70s, you know, the Genesis by Hyundai.
Yeah. Well.
Chrysler by Chrysler.
Like, it wouldn't be... Q50, you wouldn't think it'd be 50 grand, or maybe it would be.
Look, it's hard to say because it is a little bit bigger in the body, so it's the next sort of segment up, but it's a Hyundai.
Because like a top spec Santa Fe would be the most expensive Hyundai, or an i40 or something at the moment.
Santa Fe is probably right up there at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. Well, we'll just have to watch this space and pricing's going to be really interesting. Very good point. Very good point. Now, Bernie Eccleston. He's a funny little man.
He's a strange man.
Isn't he? I'm a little bit scared of him.
Yes.
I think I just don't want to ever meet him.
He looks like a character from Doctor Who, I think.
Yes. And I think that... I was going to say some terrible things about him, but he might sue me. He's a little bit terrifying. Apparently, he wants to buy the Nürburgring.
Good on him.
Really?
Yes. Somebody needs to buy it.
So what's happened? I didn't know it's in big trouble financially.
It's in a lot of trouble financially. And, you know, there's talk of chopping it up and getting rid of it and selling the land. And no.
Yeah.
Just no. Look, I've never driven it. I've never been there. But I've heard so many good things and there's nothing like it left in the world. Where can you go on the weekend on your bike or in your car and throw some money down and go for a lap?
Yeah, true.
Come on.
And yeah, that's true.
Yeah, look. It's got to stay. And look, if he's got the money to buy it and he's going to keep it there for, you know, a few more years, then good on him.
And is there a Grand Prix there?
No, there's not.
Okay.
But there used to be.
Right.
It was declared too dangerous because you couldn't put in the big runoff areas and all the rest of it that's required by, you know, the FIA legislation now.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, no.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, stump up that money. It's not like he's short of a dollar.
No. Look, be it him or be it someone else. Look, as long as somebody buys it and keeps it running, I'm happy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I support that too. Go Bernie.
Yep.
Ignore what we said about you before.
You strange man.
Exactly. He's totally listening, by the way. Now, some really, 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 really exciting news. This is really exciting news. It's really sad that I'm this excited. Do you remember that little Tokyo show concept from Nissan called the IDX?
I do, because I almost wet myself when I saw it. I was so excited.
I soiled myself.
Coming from being a bit of a Datto 1600 fan back in the day.
Oh
my God.
How awesome.
Yeah, it's just brilliant.
Yeah. So for the listeners out there, again, please get onto the Google machine and look up Nissan Nissan IDX. We might even put a picture up on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
It is absolutely harking back to the days of Datsun.
Oh, yeah.
But with a really modern twist. It is absolutely... It was really funny because it took me a while. I was kind of like, I don't know, because I only saw they did a Nismo version or a race car version. And then I saw the normal concept version. I was like, oh my God. Total little fanboy.
My nan
had a Datsun Stanza, and I know that's not the same, but I'm a big Datsun fan as well. The good news is it's going into production,
which it's just awesome.
Yeah.
I sort of get the feeling that this may have been why Toyota got a little scared a few weeks ago and said, we're doing an 86 sedan, you know. Nissan's doing something. We better do something. If it can be priced around the same sort of figure as an 86, won't that be just brilliant?
My God, let's not get our hopes up. I'm also not getting my hopes up that it's going to look the same as it is now.
Well, let's just hope it's not underpinned by a Pulsar platform.
Oh. You just gave me depression. That's probably what's going to happen. Yeah. Oh, but look, very exciting news for any kind of Datto tragic. If you are one, let us know, because we will share the love. So we'll see. Probably a few years away, I imagine.
Yeah, you'd reckon it'd probably take, 3 years to get it into production and into showrooms.
Surely.
Yeah.
Good to see that kind of, doing something a little daring, because
good on them. They need a bit of spice.
Don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then they have these amazing machines like the GTR, even the 370Z's a great car. And then everything else, guys.
Well, yeah, it is a little bit hit and miss, you might say, but there's some bland looking offerings that are really quite good. And we might touch on this a bit later, but I just drove the new Pathfinder.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, thumbs up.
Okay, we will have a bit of a chat about that later on. Now, speaking, I think this was announced at Detroit, the IDX going into production. I could be wrong, I might have just made that up, but it was a great segue into Detroit. As I said, we will talk about the motor show next week in much more detail, but there was a lot of sexy metal there, some really cool concepts, and some great new production models. What was your highlight, Matt Brogan?
Yeah, I don't mean to sound like a Nissan fanboy, because I'm not. I am not. Let's just get that on record. But That Nissan Sports Sedan concept, I believe it was called, which sort of has a little bit of GTR in it and a little bit of maybe new Maxima coming through in it.
Ah.
It looks really edgy, really sporty, and really tough.
Yep, it does.
And look, even if the production model comes out, even looking 8/10 as good as that, well... Yeah, bring it on. Great. It looks really good.
It does look fantastic. Yeah. Very aggressive kind of thing. The Maxima, I believe, in the US is very different to the one that we get here.
Yeah, it is different. Yeah.
Yeah. So Nissan have said that they, they've discontinued, or they're going to discontinue the current Maxima anyway.
I honestly don't know what's going on. It's all a bit vague.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, but, the Max was a really good thing for a long time.
Right.
Look, if this comes out and it's a little bit bigger than some of their current sedans and a little bit better...
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great.
It's a shame with the Maxima, because that very first one that came out here, I was a bit obsessed with as well, because that little...
the keypad on the door.
Oh, my God. And it just looked... was one of the most beautiful looking cars
at
the time.
And it was so plush inside.
Yeah. Just luxury. Yeah. And then as it kind of went on, it just became a car for 60
plus. Became a Camry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And older people bought it. Not that that's a bad thing, but... it was just a forgotten model for anyone under the age of 800.
Yeah.
So, yes. But look, Nissan, hopefully, kind of on the up and up.
So what about you, Timmy? What did you like from Detroit?
Look, there were two things. One that's a really obvious one, which was that Kia had that GT4 Stinger, which is a rear-drive sports car that I think might end up in production. Who knows?
At this stage. If they keep rocking along the way they are, who knows?
Well, Peter Schreier, who is the... I don't know what he does there now. He's head designer / president or something.
Used
to be a designer at Audi, of course. He is desperate for a sports car.
Yeah.
So you would think that this would be pointing to something. That was just gorgeous. I hated that Toyota concept.
Yes.
There's a Toyota. It's apparently pointing to the next Supra. Who doesn't love a Supra?
It's... Look, I think that'll be another one where they really, really water it down. And in that case, it's probably a good thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, I wanted to throw up on myself. But the other one, and this is really surprising. I might be about to commit a crime here. I don't care for Porsches.
Really?
Yep. Wow. I've never driven one, so I can't really say, but...
That might change your mind quite a bit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I don't know the design. I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. But I love the 911 Targa. So they've brought back the Targa. So it's convertible, but it's not really. It's got the kind of the glass at the back.
And there was a little bit of controversy through the week about that. They said they were the first ones to design a hatchback that worked like that on a Targa, and they were not.
Oh, no.
Because Honda had done it about, let's see, 20 years ago.
Oh, no.
So, there was a little bit of banter getting around the forums on that.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. What did the Honda do it with? Was that this?
I think it was the CRX.
Okay.
Don't quote me on that, but I think it might have been an early 90s CRX.
Right.
And it was a bit of a one-off thing, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, controversial. Mm. Naughty Porsche.
Yeah.
Or do you say Porsche?
Porsche.
Okay. Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
God damn it. I'll get there one day. Now, we've got lots more coming up very, very, very shortly, so we hope that you stick around. In fact, we've got the very, very fabulous and wonderful Brett coming in to talk about Motor Friends, which is a fantastic group or gang. That's probably the wrong word, isn't
it? That'd be shut down in Queensland.
Well, no. Yes, it's true, yes, isn't it?
But let's not start.
Good Lord. But Brett will be coming very shortly to talk about Motor Friends, so please make sure you stick around. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. My name is Tim. I'm here with the lovely Matt Brogan. How are you?
Very well.
Good.
Very
to
well.
Hear. Good to hear. And we're not alone. We're joined by another in the studio.
Yes.
Of course, I am talking about the fabulous Brett from Motor Friends. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, good.
It's been an age since I've seen you in this studio.
Yes, yes. We're finally face to face.
I know.
I'm here instead of gallivanting around the country and doing phone hookups.
I know. You've been a busy man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No rest for the wicked. So I must be particularly wicked.
And you have been. Did you have a wicked Christmas?
Oh, look, it was quite low-key. Spent it with friends, and it was a really, really lovely time.
Oh, that's nice. Mm. Good for you. Good for you. Now, I believe you've got some news. You've made a purchase.
Yes, yes. The fleet of ADO16s at my house has grown.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I've clearly got a severe illness.
Yeah.
So this will make number 7 to the fleet.
And so for the people out there that don't know what you're talking about, what does that mean?
Okay. Right. An ADO16 is the Morris 1100, 1300, 1500 range.
Mm.
So they were built between 64 through to 71, 72.
Right.
And so, if you've never seen one, think British Volkswagen Beetle and you're on the right track.
Really? Yeah.
Well, actually, the 1100 actually outsold everything in the marketplace. It was the most popular car.
Wowza.
Mm.
So how many is this now?
So this is 7.
Where do you keep them?
At home.
Oh, we won't give the address out, for example. But yeah, right. So you must have.
He rolled his eyes just then when he's at home.
Oh dear.
Yes. Look, and I have firmly said no more. But as friends have reminded me, I did say that 4 cars ago.
Oh dear.
Yes.
It does become an addiction, though. We have a dear friend and colleague.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, Byron Matthew Darkus, very good friend of the show and just bang up human being. He keeps expanding his, and he lives in, you know, an inner northern suburb that doesn't have a lot of space. And he just keeps expanding. And I think the most recent addition, the most recent addition was an Alfa Romeo.
Look, honestly, I can never keep track, but I'm surprised his husband doesn't divorce him. It's just
I think he's got like,
I think that's why I'm single, basically.
But you've got your everyday car, which of course is a Volkswagen Jetta.
Yes.
Yeah, and what is it? Just the fleet of the Morrises? You haven't slutted around?
No. I've kept myself quite exclusive. Apart from one, all of them are Australian made.
Oh.
But I couldn't go past the Vandenplaar Princess.
That's right. Of course, I
thought to
I
myself,
remember this.
Just the sheer luxury of it,
the sheer name of it.
Precisely.
I know.
Precisely.
It is beyond fabulous.
Yeah,
it's very exciting. Now, have you been busy Motor Friends wise?
Oh. We've been absolutely flat out.
Yeah.
At this time of year, like with midsummer, everything's happened.
Mm.
We were there at the carnival, which I thought was fantastic, being back in the Alexandra Gardens.
Because I missed it. We were talking before, missed the darn thing. We had stupid family commitments.
No, look, it was a really, really great day.
Yeah.
The weather-wise, couldn't ask for anything better.
Beautiful.
We're now very much linked in with Team Melbourne, so with the whole sporting aspect, so we were in with them, that area. And no, it was really, really good. And for Motor Friends, this is an incredibly busy time.
Yeah.
We like to be out in the scene in as much as we possibly can be through the midsummer events.
Absolutely. And will you guys be at Pride March?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, of course. Of course. And we're really quite disappointed that Pride March hasn't got the funding to do the picnic in the Katani Gardens this year. So then we're going ahead, and we had a great display there last year and got some really great interest in it. But we're doing, you know, we'll be parking out on the boulevard, so we'll be there, so come along and see us.
Now, I know that it's a march, I'm aware of that, and that means using your legs, but surely, surely, Motor Friends, as a car club, you should be allowed to drive your cars, don't you?
Well, we do.
Oh,
we,
good.
Yeah, we have, I think, about half a dozen cars, and we offer them seats in our cars for those people who can't walk the distance.
Mm. Yeah, okay, fabulous.
Yeah. So,
what if I'm just really lazy?
No, we throw you out and drag you behind.
Okay, fine. That's fine. In drag.
In drag.
Well, yeah,
I'll be dragged in drag. Why not? Why not? So, very busy period. And this weekend, do you guys
we've got the Magical Mystery Tour, which is a great event that we've been running for several years. So, that's starting off at Como Gardens at 9:45 in the morning.
Beautiful.
So, again, we don't know where it ends up. And you've got all series of questions. It's not a time trial. Yep. So, there's no effort to get there as quickly as possible, but it is on a point system to get all the clues correct.
Now, as El Presidente, do you already know where it ends up?
No, I don't.
Even you don't know?
No, I have absolutely no idea. So tomorrow when I get there, I won't be actually doing the Magical Mystery Tour myself, because I then go to the end to help set up and all that sort of stuff. So I don't find out until we're about to push off.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I have no idea where it is.
Oh, it's all very secretive.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's part of the fascination. Yeah. And then I can't lie. See, tell me. I don't want to know.
That's true. No one can bribe you
that's
either.
Right.
Yeah. Do you struggle when you are doing an event and you obviously are driving one of your cars? How do you decide which one you take? It's like, you know, getting dressed for something.
Well, it's a bit like that. Well, yes, it depends on now what colour should I opt for today.
Mm.
But then in reality terms, okay, which one's going to start?
That makes perfect sense. And I do wonder, is there any kind of jealousy or rivalry, like, do you covet another member's car collection? Do you look at theirs and go, oh, that would be nice?
Look, yes and no. Mm. We've got members, they've got not exactly a pigeon pair, but a lovely twin set of Bentleys that they imported from the UK. They're really very excess 80s.
Right.
So quite nice. There's because we're not mark specific and all sorts of motoring, things come along and you go, oh, now that would be nice. Then I'll go, nah, I'll stick to my little 1100s.
Yeah. Okay. That's completely understandable. Maddie Brogan, if you had to pick a car to obsess over or to get a fleet of, what would it be?
That's a really tough question. I have the weirdest and most wide-ranging taste in
you
in
do,
vehicles,
don't you? Yep.
I tell you what, and this is really unfortunate timing, but they opened Paul Walker's garage a few weeks ago and there was a little bit of a video getting around on YouTube. Wow.
Oh, really? What's he got?
Well, mostly Mustangs, but a fair bit of other stuff and a couple of cars from the movie along the way. And, just two warehouses full, two cars high of cars.
Jeepers. Wow. Yeah. So he was riding to it.
Yeah. If you know, get on the good old Google and have a poke around. Yeah. Great little collection.
Yeah. And there's quite a few around Melbourne. I drove past. There's one up in Red Hill. There's a bloke up there.
Yes.
I drove up that way recently, and a colleague of mine was saying that apparently it's a fantastic little collection.
Yeah, we've been in there a couple of times, and it's quite eclectic, all sorts of different bits and pieces. And you sort of move on and go, and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting.
That'd be lovely. And look, you know, sure, There's a bunch of wineries around there. I mean, where's the
what
bad?
A coincidence.
Where is the bad, ladies and gentlemen? But lots coming up for you guys, which is very, very exciting.
Which is true. We've got the Magical Mystery Tour happening tomorrow. Then Australia Day picnic at Forest Glade. Of course, we'll be in Pride March. So absolutely flat out.
Absolutely bonkers. The busiest time of year on the gay calendar, you could say.
Yes, indeed it is. Well, especially on the Melbourne gay calendar. Yeah. I think, you know, midsummer is just fantastic.
Yep.
Everybody comes out and it's just one big party time and it's great.
It is fantastic. And the branding this year is really interesting. It's everywhere.
Mm.
But not in a really bad way.
Yeah.
No.
I think they're doing it really well. Not that they haven't in the past, but this year I think it's been particularly well done. So.
Yeah, especially with all the signage on the trams. And it's really, really good.
Good for them, I say. Good for them. And if people want to get involved with Motor Friends, how would one do that?
Well, the easiest way is just hop on the net and look at Motor Friends. That's motafrenz.org.au. Follow the prompts. You can join online. You can pay by PayPal online. You can have a look at our events. Come along and just experience us for a couple of runs if you want. Mm. All the events are listed. Get to know us, and if you're happy, why not join?
So try before you buy.
Oh, I would
absolutely. Yes.
Let's try before you buy. If only we could do that with everything in life. Yes. You know.
Why can't we?
No, come on. God damn it, it's not fair. But look, good luck. Have a fabulous midsummer.
Yes, same to you guys.
Good luck with everything. Everything I do is fabulous. Well, I try to make it that way anyway. Brett from Motor Friends, thank you very, very much for being here. You too will hopefully see you very, very soon. Words in my head. We've got some more coming up very shortly, but just really quickly, actually, sorry, I will keep you for one more second.
Okay. Rate.
We had an email in or a text in a little while ago. Ben is looking at buying a car, and I know of Ben. Ben, if you are still listening, I hope you are still listening. He originally was going to look at something like a Nissan Cube, which is an unusual kind of, you know, square Japanese car. You can't get in this country. You have to get a grey import. Very fun. Maybe
I'd do it.
Yeah,
I'd do it.
Based on a Nissan Micra, I think.
No.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
A Japanese version of a Volvo from the 70s and 80s.
I love Volvos.
So did I.
See, that's probably the cars that I would obsess over. He'd also looked at maybe a Kia Soul. Anyway, he's asking us about the Suzuki Swift. I test drove and liked the manual transmission and the headroom. What are our thoughts? I've not driven a Swift, so I don't know. But I believe, from what my understanding, as a light car, it's a pretty good offering.
Yeah, it is. Look, I've had one as a hire car and pleasantly surprised. You know, stepping out of the Volkswagen, which is turbocharged and all the rest of it, bit of get up and go, I was pleasantly surprised the Suzuki Swift had a really good pickup.
Yeah.
Now, I had that car in Newcastle, so when you fly into Newcastle, it's a good 45-minute drive out of Newcastle at Williamtown Air Base, is the airport, and it got along nicely. It's a buzz box.
Yeah.
But it's designed for primary city commuting.
Yeah.
Indestructible, sturdy, stuck to the road, good economy.
Fuel efficient.
I think you've hit it on the head too with the indestructible. They're just so mechanically sound, you know.
Yep.
Good safety rating. I think it's one of the perhaps pick of those little cars that, you know, it doesn't look too female, it doesn't look too male, it doesn't really offend anyone, and, you know, good safety score, good price. There's not a lot not to like.
And there's a bit of character too. They've got some really nice curves opposed to the other small cars of that ilk, which are very sort of boxy, bland, sort of nothing. But Suzuki's got a bit of style to it.
And I kind of like a little brand like that. You know, you don't see them everywhere, they're not all over the road, even though they sell reasonably well. I don't know, I kind of like that as well. So, sounds like the Swift gets the thumbs up, and I think you were mentioning in the break the Sport is the pick of the bunch.
If you've got a couple of extra grand to spend, just get the Sport. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Good point. So, Ben, hopefully that has helped your search, and do keep in touch and let us know how you go. Brett, thank you once again.
And thank you.
This is Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Yes, you are listening to Joy 94.9. The show is called Fender Bender. It's all about motoring, which is very lucky considering that's what we do for a living, isn't it?
Tis.
Yeah, we're lucky. We're very lucky.
Yes, very.
We hope you're having a wonderful day. We know we are. Now, as mentioned before, we're going to talk a little bit about a phenomenon, I guess you could say, which is the corporate grill on cars these days. Now, what I'm talking about, people, of course, is how a company gets a certain design language, I guess, and shoves a face on a car, and then that face ends up on every single model that they have.
Yeah, and, you know, there's people that do it well, and there's people that do it with a little bit of tact, and you sort of take a look at their cars and go, yeah, I can see where that's coming from.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones where it just looks, as you put it before, Timmy, like a babushka doll.
Yeah.
Every car just looks like a copy of itself, but slightly bigger or slightly smaller than the one next to it. So I think, look, you've got to be a little bit careful with your corporate styling.
I think it absolutely. And look, it's not a new thing. I mean, BMW, their existence, you know, that they've had the circle headlights.
The twin kidney grills.
Totally. Yep. Even Mercedes-Benz to an extent.
Yeah, they've sort of changed a little bit along the way, but I think you can still recognise a Mercedes-Benz as a Mercedes-Benz from whatever era it may be.
Totally.
So, yeah, look, that's probably one of the ones that have done a better job because it doesn't look like copy and paste so much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of stemmed from European, I guess, you know, where it started kind of with those European brands. Why do you think car makers are kind of pushing this family look, especially because it is across the board now?
Yeah, I think as I was saying to Brett just a moment ago in the break, I think because there's so much that you have to build into the front of a car now. Mm. That being really obtuse or being really out there and doing something that's a little bit brave, perhaps, is harder and harder to do. You've got to think of pedestrian impact. You've got to think of aerodynamics. You've got to think of the way that your light spreads and your indicators are seen from a distance and airflow. And, you know, there's just so much to work into the car, not to mention, you know, all your safety gear, of course.
Yeah.
So trying to do something that identifies you from the crowd is very tricky. So I think keeping a theme across your portfolio is something that's quite important.
Yeah.
And especially from a recognition point of view.
And that's what it's about as well, I think, isn't it? Really is a big thing. It's branding.
It is.
And
yeah.
If you look at, I mean, it's not
like the Nike swoosh of cars. Yeah,
it's not just an automotive thing. I mean, there's other brands I think I'd put here. Louis Vuitton.
Mm.
You know a Louis Vuitton pattern when you see it. You don't have to be gay to know a Louis Vuitton pattern. And Burberry.
Do you?
Well, exactly, quite possibly. But, you know, Burberry, you kind of know the look of a Burberry thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it kind of makes sense. I guess the issue I have with it is that it kind of homogenizes everything and it makes it a little bit generic. Whereas you look at Holden's, for example, of the 80s or the 90s, none of them look the same. There was kind of a couple that maybe, you could be from the same family, but essentially they could have been from any car maker.
Yeah, and look, there was probably a lot of reasons for that because most of them weren't Holden's, really.
Well,
they were Nissans and Toyotas and God knows what.
True.
But, yeah, look, I think it is important and done well, you will attract people to your brand again and again and again. They sort of want a little bit of recognition. They want people to know, yes, I'm driving a Mercedes. Yes, I'm driving an Audi. Yep. Yes, I'm driving a BMW or whatever the case may be. And I think increasingly, let's say, less prestigious manufacturers are starting to cotton on to this idea.
Yeah.
If you look at the Hyundais, the Kias, the even Toyota now with that sort of sharpened look, you know.
Yep.
Toyota's sort of styling's been a little bit miss and match across their range previously, and now you're starting to get that theme coming through. So I think everyone's starting to catch on to this idea, and I think it's not just a phase, it's not just a fashion.
No.
I think it's something that's proven itself, and you're going to see a fair bit more of.
It's interesting, though, because I don't think... I think you're right. I think this is how it's going to be from now on. I don't think we're going to see car companies that have really defined, you know, a small car that looks completely different from a medium-sized car to an SUV.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be that. I guess that some of them are differentiating, like the SUV, the front of their SUV lineups are a little bit different to their sedan hatch lineups, their passenger car lineups.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll use Hyundai as an example. Depending on where the vehicle's produced and depending on where its main market is, you do get a different styling.
Yeah.
We get a lot of the fluidic design here, whereas you get that, I think it's called Storm Edge styling in the States, which is coming through in the Santa Fe that we get here. So you've sort of got, you know, the Asian influence in some aspects of the range, and you've and got, then, you know, an American influence in the other. So, I guess, you know, depending on where it's sold and depending on which way our market swings, we might see a little bit of a mix from the same brand.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, if you look at Nissan as well, a lot of their passenger cars, their sedans and hatches and that kind of thing, have got a very similar-ish face at the moment.
Yep.
The Altima looks like an inflated Pulsar, if you ask me.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But then their SUV lineup, especially, you know, they're expanding with the Pathfinder, as you mentioned earlier, and whatever else they've got, the Duke and What have we got? Dualis, all similar kind of grills.
Yeah, which is Qashqai now.
Oh, yes.
This week.
Yeah, yes, that's right. I forgot about that. But and look, some of them have done it quite well, as you said, and I think the Europeans should be, you know, given a round of applause.
Yeah, and I guess, as you mentioned before, Mr. Schreyer, that's probably why we're starting to see a little bit of this now coming through in the, you know, the big Koreans, because he's over there now and he's bringing a little bit of that Europeanness with him.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
And it's working for them.
Oh, Key is at the moment looking absolutely brilliant. What is it called? The Tiger Nose Grill?
Yes, that's
so
right.
The little grill. And I had a my press car over the Christmas period was a little Kia Coupe Turbo, which is a really fun little thing, and it looks terrific. People are really, like, stopped and looked at that car on the street and everything. And I think the Cerato is a fantastic looking thing. I think, across the board, they're doing really well, apart from the Carnival's a little bit dated.
Well, that's, you know, there's a new one coming.
There is, yes, apparently. They keep saying that. But look, some people do it well. Some people just absolutely hate the corporate face of some companies. Now, one that gets a lot of flack is Lexus.
The spindle grill. Yeah.
It's controversial.
I appreciate what they're aiming for. Mm. I think we sort of mentioned before the cardigan wearing car, and that to a degree, you know, unfairly or not, was what Lexus had been tainted as.
Yeah.
And yes, they're trying something different, but maybe they've just gone too far too fast.
Right.
So I think they've gone from being quite conservative and, you know, not really offending anyone in particular to trying to aim for a really young, energetic market, you know, and, you know, stuff what your previous customers wanted.
Yeah.
This is us now. There's no, you know,
there was no kind of gradual...
Yeah, no progression in the move. So I think, it's one of those ones you've got to be a little bit careful when you pick a new corporate nose.
It's true. And it's also, I think it's done differently on some of their models. And they've got, I think it's called the LFNX, which is they're going to be their little kind of compact
SUV.
And that's only in concept phase at the moment, or concept whatever. I saw that in the flesh, which you probably would have as well, at Tokyo.
Yes.
I think it was released before that, but whatever. And in the pictures, I was like, good God, that things looks awful. Mm. And then in the flesh, I think it looks
pretty good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
But somebody did post a thing on online, which was a close-up picture of, you know, the movie Predator.
Yes.
The face of Predator, quite close up, with the weird teeth and mouth, looks exactly like the grill of the LFNX.
Yes. See, and there's another example at the moment, too, with Mazda, with its new corporate nose. And when you look at the Mazda 6 and the CX-5, and you go, yeah, great. And even the little update they've done to the CX-9, you think, wow, looks fabulous. Go and have a look at the new Mazda 3 that's about to come out.
Yeah.
And they've sort of gone for this single frame look, you know, keeping in the theme with all the other cars in their range, and then stuck a number plate bang in the middle of it, and it looks like it's got buck teeth. What were they thinking?
I don't know. Were they thinking?
Well, I don't know. And I said, look, can you mount it anywhere else? Can't you just put it off to the side like an old Alfa Romeo, or move it down lower? No, it won't go anywhere else. And it's like, oh, what have you've spoilt a really, really great-looking car with this horrible, hideous Victorian number plate that
It's almost like it's an oversight. It's like they kind of forgot that some countries have to have a license plate on the front of their car. Because I'm exactly the same. It's a great-looking car. And when I saw that first local picture of that thing, I went, oh, that must be a mistake. And then we contacted them, and they're like, no, that's where it's going.
And you said, you know, in the US market, where, except in New York State, you don't have to have a front plate. And it'll look great.
Oh, look, it's very, very strange. Look, also, another one is Ford at the moment. Very Aston Martin corporate face. I really like it. I think it works really well.
It does, especially on the Mondeo that's due to be here later this year, early next year.
Is it?
Well,
are you sure?
Who knows?
Yeah.
But, yeah, look, that looks so classy.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a Mondeo.
No,
it's really,
just really
premium
striking
look to it. So, yeah.
Even changing the face of the little Fiesta.
Yeah.
I think that looks terrific.
Yeah.
And it's funny now, because I look at the Fiesta next to the Focus, and I think the Focus looks quite dated.
Yeah.
Even though it's not.
No, it's not. No, but
it's, you know, so you kind of, it's almost like they need to do their entire range at the same time, which is not possible.
No.
But, you know, to kind of keep up. There are some less successful ones. Subaru, at the moment, I don't know if it's a corporate face, is it? It's more like a corporate boxy, chunky look.
Do you know, I would say from around 12 years ago, it's almost like they've not had a staple to work with. It's it's been a bit hit and miss. They've gone through a lot of phases very quickly. There's no real grounding there. There's no uniformity to their styling. And it's almost like the brands are just in flux all the time.
Yeah.
I wish they'd just try and settle on something or go and hire a really good designer, please.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, look, hopefully with a couple of the concepts we've seen, that they had that Liberty concept at LA, some show?
Yeah, I think. Recently? They all blend into
I
one.
I know, they do, don't they?
First world problems.
But, no. Yeah. But that's going to point to their next Liberty, and that looks brilliant.
Yeah. But then look at the WRX. At the
I know. And that because the concept was brilliant, and then it came out. Look, but we're not going to see the end of this. This is just going to keep going like it has been, and car companies are just going to have the same kind of look. Personally, I would love to see a car company just go, screw you guys, we're just having a completely different look for everything.
Yeah.
Sure, keep
as
the same
expensive
badge.
As that might be.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. So, but that's just my own outrageous opinion.
Do it, Timmy. Start your own.
That's it. I will.
I hear Holden's going cheap.
Yeah, it's true. Matty B, it's the end of the show.
Thanks for having me,
mate. Can you believe
it?
Thank you for coming in. Much appreciated.
Pleasure. It got me out of the veggie patch.
It did. You green thumb, you. Have a great weekend. We will see you hopefully very, very soon.
I'll see you on Monday, in fact.
Oh, that's true. It's true. It's very true. Thank you for listening, everyone. Do stick around. The fabulous Hannah is up next with Little Fish. My name's Tim Nicholson, signing off for Fender Bender. Safe driving.
This has been a Fender Bender podcast for Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station. See joy.org.au for more details.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.